Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
And away we go. Hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. It is a Tuesday, so that means Stu has crafted up some questions. And whatever question he does ask me, I'll tell you if the question is an overreaction or a proper reaction. And we get it going in 3, 2, and 1.
Another football week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Which takes are truly crazy?
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
Alrighty, Stu, what do we got cooking today?
All right, as we talked about earlier in the show, on Monday Night Football, the Cowboys dominated my Raiders by a score of 33-16. The Raiders are now 2-8 on the season, and once again struggled to get much going offensively, as Geno Smith was only 27-42 passing, 238 yards, one touchdown and one pick. And first-round pick Ashton Jeanthe ran for just 7 yards on 6 carries. Overreaction or proper reaction, the Raiders will have both a new head coach and a new starting quarterback in 2026.
I think they should move off of Geno Smith. I think he, at least bare minimum, shouldn't be their starting quarterback next year. I also look at Pete Carroll. I think they should move off of him, but I think he will be back. So I'm going to say Pete Carroll is still the Raiders' head coach in 2026. Geno Smith will not be their starting quarterback starting week one of 2026. So the Raiders will have a new head coach and a new starting quarterback in 2026. I am going to say overreaction because Pete will be back.
All right. The Commanders and Dolphins battled it out in the final international series game of the season in Madrid on Sunday. Now, according to the Spanish publication Diarios, the game on Sunday generated 150 million.
This ain't a soccer segment right here?
This is
just
not.
Just making sure you guys aren't squeezing in some football here when we're supposed to be talking about football.
Well, the game, the NFL game there generated 150 million euros in Madrid City, 21 million euros from bars and restaurants alone. And according to a study, 42,000 of the 78,000 fans who came to the stadium were tourists. Overreaction or proper reaction, the NFL should continue to increase the amount of international games each season.
I'm going to give you this question. The NFL should continue to increase the amount of international games. Do we need any more? Like, I feel as if we have one each and every week. I know we don't, but there's way too many international games. So I'll say fine with the number right now. Like, when somebody asks you a question, like, how does this look? What do you? And you go, fine. It's like, I don't really like it, but I'm not going to go out of my way to say that I hate it. I don't need more international games. Right now, the number is okay. It's tolerable. It's a lot, but it's tolerable. I'll still watch the football. But with that being said, if we're going to have a Super Bowl one day in London, like, what are we doing here? We don't need any more international games. We have enough. So the NFL should continue to increase the amount of international games each season. It's like a college football playoff. You made the big expansion to 12, right? You have more and more international games. You go to different places, obviously, but we don't need more in terms of the total number of teams or the total numbers of games being played internationally. So I will go overreaction there.
Browns defensive end Myles Garrett continues to put up astounding numbers this season. On Sunday, he became the only player with multiple games of four or more sacks since 2020, and he's done it three times. In addition to that, he has the most sacks since the start of each season dating back to 2020. He's had 88 since 2020. Since the start of 2021, he's had 75. Since the start of 2022, he's had 59. And since the start of 2024, 29. Overreaction or proper reaction, Myles Garrett will go down as the greatest individual pass rusher of all time.
So he's moving on up that list. With that being said, is he Reggie White? No. Is he Bruce Smith? No. And obviously, is he the great Lawrence Taylor? No. Now, he'll definitely have more career sacks than Lawrence Taylor, but Lawrence Taylor, you could argue, is the most feared pass rusher of all time. So he will be one of the all-time greats. He will easily be in Canton, Ohio. But am I going to say that he'll be the greatest individual pass rusher of all time? I will not. But with that being said, Myles Garrett is, 29? 28, I believe? Is he younger than that? Let's see. He's 29 years old. Turns 30 on December 29th. And right now, when you look at Myles Garrett in his career sacks, I believe it's 117, right, is the number? It's 117 and a half. So when you look at the career sack list, Bruce Smith, 200. Reggie White, 198. Kevin Green, 160. Julius Peppers, 159 and a half. Chris Dolman, 150 and a half. Michael Strahan, 141 and a half. Jason Taylor, 139 and a half. Terrell Suggs, 139. DeMarcus Ware, 138 and a half. Richard Dent, 137 and a half. John Randall, 137 and a half. Jared Allen, 136. Von Miller, 134 and a half. Jonathan Abraham, 133 and a half. Lawrence Taylor, 133 and a half. Leslie O'Neal, 132 and a half. Ricky Jackson, 128. Derek Thomas, 126 and a half. Dwight Freeney, 125 and a half. And Cam Jordan, 125. That's the top 20. So he's making his way up that list. Is he going to get to 200? I doubt it. He's already at 117 and a half. We could see. But I don't think he'll be viewed. I think he'll be viewed as one of, just not as the greatest. That's the question. Like Reggie White and Lawrence Taylor, just for starters. I know Smith has the number. I don't know how you can move past Lawrence Taylor and Reggie White. That's just me. So as much as I do like Myles Garrett, and I enjoyed our conversation at the Super Bowl, Myles Garrett will go down as the greatest individual pass rusher of all time. I'm going to say overreaction.
All right, Panthers rookie wide receiver Tet McMillan had another strong performance this weekend when he totaled 8 catches for 130 yards and 2 touchdowns in Carolina's win over the Falcons. Now, the 8th pick out of Arizona currently has 4 touchdowns, 54 catches, and 748 yards on the season, but is on pace if the season, for a whole season, 83 catches, 1,156 yards. Overreaction or proper reaction? Tet McMillan is the most surprising rookie this season.
Okay, Stu, I see what you were saying there. Let me let you, I'll peel back the curtain here. On some of these questions, you may have heard the music play for a second or two longer because I'm communicating to Stu through the talkback system. So I just looked down at the sheet at question 4, which are on right now, and I see that Tet McMillan has 83 catches for 1,156 yards this season. And I go, really? I go, No. That's not his numbers for the season. So I send a little note to Stu. I think your numbers on Tet McMillan are wrong. And then I just see the wording that it's the 8th pick out of Arizona is now on pace. So Stu was right. Zach was wrong. Tell me another day that ends in Y. Tet McMillan's the most surprising rookie this season. Abuka would have been up there, even though I liked Emeka Abuka a lot. And I thought highly of Tet McMillan coming out of college. But who would have thought that the Carolina Panthers would have a receiver that would have 83 catches potentially for 1,156 yards? I didn't think their passing game was going to be that good. So the offensive rookie of the year odds right now, you have Jackson Dart in the mix, but now he's hurt. Emeka Abuka, Tyler Warren, but I thought very highly of Warren. Tedder Torre, McMillan, and then Quinshon Judkins. Defensive rookie of the year, Abdul Carter's had a half a sack. Jahad Campbell's been good. Nick Amenawori, I think I'm saying that correctly, the Seahawks. Will Johnson, I thought was going to be really good. You know what? This is not a great rookie class. So the fact that Tet McMillan right now, if you would have said to me, because right now he's 6th in the league in receiving yards, Zach, would you believe that through 11 weeks he'd be 6th in receiving yards? I would not. So I'm going to say that, yes, Tet McMillan is the most surprising rookie this season. That is a proper reaction. And Stu, I apologize for my overreaction.
It's all good. Speaking of rookies, we finally got to see Shador play on Sunday as the rookie out of Colorado came into the game for a concussion to Dylan Gabriel in a loss to the Ravens. Now, Shador completed just 4 of 16 passes.
And Justina Anderson thought it was the greatest 4 completions that has ever existed.
Just 47 yards, no touchdowns, and a pick. While Gabriel's concussion isn't expected to keep him out long-term, his status for Sunday's game against the Raiders is in doubt, and Shador is likely to start reportedly. Overreaction or proper reaction, the Browns would be making a massive mistake by not starting Shador Sanders the rest of the season.
All right. A massive mistake? I am one that has advocated and said Shador should be starting this week up against the lousy Raiders. A massive mistake? That would be...
Fireball fence.
That would kind of be as if a billionaire got fined $200,000 and people are going to say, oh, that's a massive punishment. It's a massive punitive action. Yeah, to the billionaire, what did I say, $200,000? That would be like Stu losing a penny, if we're just being honest. It's not that big of a deal. So I think the Browns would be doing something I disagree with by starting Dylan Gabriel. But for the rest of the season, a massive mistake for not starting Shador Sanders for the rest of the season? I don't know. Like, what happens if he plays the next 3 games and stinks? Is that a massive mistake? Like, are you not going to go to Deshaun Watson? Ah, man. So for this weekend, it would be a mistake. It would be. For the rest of it, a massive mistake? Does anyone think Shador's actually going to be the guy in Cleveland? No, so I can't say it's going to be a massive mistake. I do think it would be a mistake, though, not giving him at least the next few weeks. So I guess I'll go overreaction there on that specifically worded question by the great Sue Kovacs.
All right, Texas now has 3 losses this season after falling to Georgia by a score of 35-10 on Saturday in a game that really wasn't that close. After national championship hopes heading into the season, reaching the playoffs would be a miracle at this point for the Longhorns. Well, College Game Day analyst Desmond Howard made this claim on his Instagram page yesterday.
I was also thinking, don't be surprised if that Texas job opens up at the end of the season. You guys were shocked when LSU opened up. Imagine how you're going to feel if that job in Austin pops open. I'm not calling or saying anyone's going to get fired. It may be a mutual parting of ways. Anyway, you guys have a great Monday.
Overreaction or proper reaction, Texas and Sark would both be better off if they mutually parted ways.
Let me ask you 3 questions here. Do you think maybe Desmond Howard was on social media and just saw some like crazy post about Sark getting fired? Or Texas moving off of Sark from someone that's like unverified and Desmond Howard ran with it? Yes or no? Do you think that's possible?
I think it's possible. Sure.
Do you think Desmond Howard has in the back of his mind the Diana Rossini report from a few weeks ago that there's NFL interest with Sark?
Yeah, I can see that too.
Thirdly, do you think Desmond Howard is just talking out of his ass right there?
Probably the most likely of the 3.
I think all 3 are possibilities. I do. If Sark is going to mutually part ways with Texas, I would like to see Sark be the coach at LSU. I think it'd be fun. Now, I don't think Texas is going to want to move off of Sark right now. I don't think they're going to want to move off of Sark. With that being said, though, if they're going to mutually part ways, maybe Sark comes to them and say, hey, I'm going to go pursue the NFL, but also... The last 2 years, we have actually legitimately said Texas is back. They made the Big 12 championship game. They won it. They made the college football playoff. Then, first year in the SEC, they made the SEC championship game. They were in the Final 4 of the college football playoff in a 12-team format. Sark had a terrible, and I mean a terrible play call in that fourth quarter up against Ohio State down at the goal line that pushed them back 7 or 8 yards. And this year, it's gotten away from them, but they're 7-3. It's not successful, but I think he deserves a chance to go get this right with Arch Manning next year. So Texas and Sark could both be better off if they mutually parted ways? No. I don't think it really makes sense for Sark, and I don't think it makes sense for Texas. So I would say that is a overreaction, but a interesting take by Desmond Howard, who Carl Dukes, I think, last year around this time, got a random phone call from Desmond Howard, who was listening to our network and just pretended to be a caller to the Carl Dukes extravaganza. Which, that was something. All righty, next one.
All right, there is still speculation.
I guess Desmond Howard likes to be a sports talk radio caller sometimes, because that was one wacky, and I mean wacky opinion. Oh, can you imagine the Diana Rossini victory lap if she finally gets one right on this whole Sark thing? That he acted, because she got shredded for that. And she's been getting shredded recently online for all these reports. Could you imagine if she got that Sark to the NFL story right? Oh, boy. If I'm Diana Rossini, I would take one big fat victory lap.
Eagles fans particularly very upset with her recently.
Yeah, that's true with the whole A.J. Brown stuff and everything. I lived in Philly. I love Philly. It doesn't take much to upset Eagles fans. Like, for a while, they said they wanted more to Carson Wentz. Donovan McNabb gets on my show and says, oh, if they don't see Wentz get to the conference championship game in 2 years, then people are going to run him out of town. And Donovan McNabb ended up being right, and he got shredded for that. Absolutely shredded for that on both WIP and 97.5 The Fanatic.
So. He's been a jack wagon since he got to Philadelphia.
Who was that? Was that Shep?
That was Carlos.
Oh, it sounded like Shep.
That's what I thought, too. It sounded like Shep.
Play that again?
He's been a jack wagon since he got to Philadelphia.
Now I see it now. I don't know why. I thought that was Shep there for a second.
You know, he's been a jack wagon ever since he got to Philadelphia.
I was going to say, I don't think Shep's like the nicest. I don't think he'd go a jack wagon.
Yeah. I'd actually be proud of Shep if he called someone a jack wagon. All righty, what have we got here, Stu?
All right, there is still speculation regarding who will fill some of the biggest college football openings this offseason, which, of course, includes Penn State. Well, Josh Pate on...
is all over the Penn State.
He is on Josh Pate's college football show on Sunday. He gave his thoughts on the Penn State opening.
Persiani gets all fancy with these drops.
My guy on there is Matt Campbell, and I've spoken about Matt a lot on the show, but the people who push back on Matt Campbell as a legitimate candidate just floor me. Their reasons just floor me. Matt Campbell's a stud as a head coach. I think he is perfectly cut out for the Penn State job. Like, the edge, the grit, the attention to detail, the different way you have to sell Penn State, the understanding of placing premium on eval and development, the magnetism that the guy's programs have, how much discount players take to play for him, and staffers. Everything you would want in a Penn State coach, he has.
All right, overreaction or proper reaction, Matt Campbell would be a good hire for Penn State.
I think Josh Pate is one of, if not the best voices covering college football. I do find it interesting we follow one another, how much we will both disagree on some things. I think Matt Campbell is a really, really, really good coach. I think Matt Campbell is a really, really nice guy. Something that always concerns me about Matt Campbell, I have a lot of respect for, is a few years ago when Iowa State was supposed to win the Big 12 championship, and I said this 10,000 times on this show, when it wasn't going his way, he said, those were never my expectations to win the Big 12. Well, you're getting thrown into the swamp that is Penn State. And in Happy Valley, you are now expected to win a national championship because they just got rid of a really good coach, but not a great coach, and I think it's the right decision. I think it was the right decision to move off of James Franklin because he wasn't doing well enough in the big games, and he wasn't going to go win a national championship. So the coach that ran and hid for the expectations of winning the Big 12 is now going to get that job. It's possible. It is definitely possible. And maybe with more resources and maybe with a bigger profile job, he could go win a national championship there. But I wouldn't say it's a bad hire, but it's not a hire that would be making me jumping for joy. I think, though, I'd be more out than in on it. So asking this question, Matt Campbell would be a really good hire for Penn State. I think it's a lot of other people would say no for him to get the job. So I'm going to say that is a overreaction.
All right, last one here. On yesterday's show, we, of course, discussed the news of Virginia Tech hiring former Penn State head coach James Franklin to lead their program. Va Tech was a top program in the late 90s and early 2000s under Frank Beamer, but hasn't had a double-digit win season since 2016 and has just won since 2011. Overreaction or proper reaction, James Franklin will elevate Va Tech to a perennial top 10 to 15 program.
10 to 15 may be a little bit too rich. Can he have some years where he's in the top 10 and he's in the top 15, but perennial top 10 to 15, I would say no. I think they could be a perennial 20 to 25. I do think that 20 to 25, but 10 to 15 year in and year out, I think is a little bit too high even for Virginia Tech. So James Franklin will elevate Virginia Tech to a perennial top 10 to 15 program. I'm going to go slight overreaction. I think it's more 20 to 25. Alrighty, that's overreaction, proper reaction. This is Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network.
Quick question for you, Zach. Which out of those eight questions, which were the ones that had audio cuts again?
I'm going to assume 6 and 7. There we go.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Yeah.
Did you ever see the horse that died that just kept on getting beat?
Stu keeps lobbing these. Stu is giving me underhanded.
Do not blame me for this.
No, I'm just teasing you right there. So Stu will usually get thrown under the bus for anybody. That's the first time that Stu just like, yeah, I'm not getting associated with this. He's like, KP, I'm not jumping on the Titanic with you on this one. All righty, we'll take a break. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. When we come on back, I want to play you some audio that we did not get to in the news brief, something that Barry Alvarez said that I thought was very interesting. We will get to that quote and that cut on the other time, and you also hear from Zach Taylor on the Jamar Chase spitting incident and suspension. All right, here's the poll question today. You can find it on Twitter at Zach Gelb or at INF Sportsnet. Where will Lane Kiffin be coaching next season? Ole Miss, LSU, or Florida? Stu, what do you think the poll returns are on this one? Who do you think is in the lead? Who do you think is in second? Who do you think is in third?
Okay, I think Florida is third. I think they're kind of like a distant third behind LSU and Ole Miss. I'm going to guess it's Ole Miss slightly ahead of LSU.
Okay. Chris Bersianen, how do you think you would order those up 1, 2, and 3?
Guessing what people voted?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go LSU 1 because people think change is exciting. I'm going to go Ole Miss 2, Florida 3, but I'm not going to say a distant 3. I'm going to say LSU 42% and Florida and Ole Miss share the rest.
Florida is at 19.8%. LSU is at 27.5%. Ole Miss at 52.7%. Now, you know what this tells me? It tells me two things. Number one, people agree with your boy. But really, I think this is people have Lane Kiffin fatigue. We went through this song and dance last year. He stayed. Right? We even went through it, I think, a few years before that with the Auburn stuff, if memory serves me right. He stayed. So now this is popping up again. Sure, it absolutely makes sense for Lane Kiffin to be the next head football coach at LSU. It absolutely makes sense for him to maybe consider Florida. But in this new era of name, image, and likeness of the transfer portal, if you have something working, if you have something humming, and you're going to be in the playoff, and you have alignment with the AD, the boosters are pumping in money for the NIL, does it really make sense to leave for Florida? I don't think so. Now, LSU, it does feel like a different juggernaut because of the fact that they've had three coaches win national championships since 2000. Nick Saban, Les Miles, and Ed Orgeron. But does Lane need to leave Ole Miss to go win a national championship at LSU? I don't think so. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you he wins a national championship at Ole Miss. Right? He didn't even make the college football playoff last year at Ole Miss. He's going to make it this year. But Stu, I'll use your school as a latest example. Brian Kelly left Notre Dame for what reason? He didn't think he could win a national championship at Notre Dame. He thought he had to go to who? LSU, right? It's so easy peasy to win a national championship at LSU. And welcome into my Tiger family. And all of a sudden, right, you go win a national championship at LSU. Well, what's the job we're talking about that's open right now? LSU, Brian Kelly, out.
I'm here with my family.
Now, Marcus Freeman, Stu, got the job at Notre Dame, was elevated. And last year there in the college football playoff, they win, they go to the national championship where they lose to Ohio State. And this year, barring a disastrous performance against, what is it, Syracuse and Stanford, I think?
Yes.
You're going to be going off to the college football playoff again. So I wonder, like I'll say this, I could talk about this now because we briefly have talked about it on a podcast. Like I had conversations when I was in Lincoln, Nebraska with Matt Rhule, when I was a guest of Matt Rhule for the Northwestern game. and we talked about his future, and I've known Matt for years, and he was asking me my media opinion on the Penn State job and Nebraska, and he already made up his mind at that point. Now, he didn't tell me about it yet, and we had about a 30-minute conversation about it, and then the conversation ended with him telling me, hey, I'm staying at Nebraska. But when we were talking, this is just something that I brought up. I said, like, you look at a school like Nebraska, right? Nebraska is a school where the fan base is passionate. The fans like you right now. You're doing a heck of a job. And, like, if you would have said to me 5 years ago, do you leave Nebraska for Penn State? I would have said yes. But right now you have all the alignment. You have everything that you want right there. So why would you go to Penn State? And, you know, each situation, you bring up things. And I go, okay, at Nebraska, this is something that I was talking about. And I said, Scott Frost was a legend there as a player. Now they can't stand him there because he was a disaster as a head coach. Like, you're a Penn Stater. You were a Penn Stater. If you go to Penn State and you don't succeed, and I'm not saying that he wouldn't succeed, eventually you get fired one day by your alma mater. Is that a taste that you could deal with in your mouth? So I, like, look at, and the reason I'm bringing this up is I look at Lane Kiffin. Even though it's not apples to apples here, does Lane Kiffin maybe look at Marcus Freeman and Brian Kelly and look at Brian Kelly and say, oh, well, Brian Kelly, you left something good for something that was viewed to be better, and then you're fired within, what, 3 or 4 years? So does Lane Kiffin sit there and say, hey, I'm going to stay at Ole Miss because I'm happy, and I'm not just go to LSU because maybe then I'll be the next Brian Kelly? It's just something that I bring up where I wonder if coaches view it that way. So that's just something that was in my thought process on this. But where will Lane Kiffin be coaching next year? I think it's really, I think go either way. I think it could be 50% he stays or 50% that he goes somewhere else. I wouldn't have thought that he would leave Ole Miss for Florida, maybe because of Spurrier connection he does. If I'm him, if I'm leaving Ole Miss, I would go to LSU. But today, when I flip the coin up in the air and I go heads or tails, is Lane Kiffin going to be staying at Ole Miss? Heads, he stays. Tails, he goes. I think the coin today lands on heads. But I think people, maybe two parts on this 53.3% that say he's going to stay at Ole Miss. And then 27.2% say LSU, 19.6% say Florida. I think the 53.3% maybe look at it and say, well, why would you leave if it's working right now in this name, image, and likeness era? And then other people, maybe they're just fatigued out when it just comes to what now a 2 or 3 year song and dance on is Lane Kiffin going to stay or is he going to go? Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Let me just play you this real quickly. This was on the Pat McAfee show earlier today. Then I'll get to this Barry Alvarez thing that I teased that I want to get to. So there's a report from On3 that Ole Miss gave Lane Kiffin an ultimatum, and it's the day of the Egg Bowl. They need to tell him if he's going to be back at Ole Miss or not next year. Lane Kiffin was asked about this, was on Pat McAfee, and this is what he had to say about that ultimatum.
That's absolutely not true. There's been no ultimatum in anything like that at all. And so I don't know where that came from, like a lot of stuff that comes out there. Like I said, man, we're having a blast. I love it here. I mean, our running back's sitting right over here. Come on over. And it just couldn't be better. Like I said, you pray for things. Our fans prayed for this type of thing, and now we're in the middle of it. So enjoy it. You're 10-1. You're getting ready. You got a bye week. You get to watch half the country lose, and there's no way we can lose Saturday. And then you play the Egg Bowl and go dominate that and keep that Egg Bowl trophy home where it's been for a long time.
So, yeah, it's not true. And then you do all these things to try to dress it up as if you just want to get away from that question. I don't know if Ole Miss has issued an ultimatum to him or not. Even if they did, I think either Ole Miss or Lane Kiffin wants us out there. And something just tells me that Ole Miss, if they were fearful that they were going to lose Lane, let me just operate that Ole Miss did issue this ultimatum. If they were fearful that they're going to lose Lane, would you really go to him and say, hey, we need a decision by this date? You know, maybe you could because, okay, then the next coach got to get in there and you got to find someone, you got to go through your process. But what are you trying to do everything with the way that he brought the program and the level he brought the program to just suck up to this guy and not pressure him into making a decision when there is a very good chance that he still stays? Or maybe Lane just wants this out there because it's good when your name is in the news like this and then you could use this to your advantage. Hey, I passed up on Florida. I passed up on Ole Miss. Two schools in our conference because I think we have something better at Ole Miss. I just think he's staying right now. And maybe tomorrow I wake up and I think differently because yesterday I thought he was leaving. Now, Barry Alvarez was on ESPN Wisconsin, and he ripped into the notion that Wisconsin's goal is now to get where Illinois is right now. This is Barry Alvarez talking to ESPN Wisconsin. Listen up.
Guys, you think that Coach Fickell can get Wisconsin to where Illinois is now with Coach Bielema and surpass it?
Absolutely where Illinois is, for sure. I mean, if he could get there, he could get to the next level too, but, you know, to get there is going to take some work, and we got to recruit the state, and we got to keep those guys in the state, as Coach said, and then we got to pull the right pieces together.
I would hope that our expectation would be, Illinois has not done what Wisconsin's done. Like, what in the hell? Like, no.
That's almost back to where we were. Question. That's actually an embarrassing question.
I don't like it, Jesse.
Yeah, but did he say what Wisconsin?
I waited until he was across the country to ask him this question. Over here.
Yeah. You asked if we could get to where they are.
Can we get to where Illinois is? Because right now they are ahead of us. Do we not agree they're ahead of us right now?
Right now, yes. But they have done nothing.
And plus, we could beat them. Potentially. I mean, I'm telling you, like, if we play like we did against Indiana, I think we could beat them.
I do, too.
So under Brett Bielema in the last 4 years, I know he's been there for 5 years, but the last 4 years, Illinois has been 8-5, 5-7, 10-3, and right now they're 7-3. So I think the way that question was asked is what Illinois has really done the last two seasons. I think that's the intention. Because if you're Wisconsin, you're not winning a national championship anytime soon. Right? Like, that's not the goal at Wisconsin. But if you could be 10-3, and let's see what they finish up this year, Illinois, but they're 7-3 right now, you would take that success. Because the last time I checked, here's been your record. The last time you had 10 wins was 2019. So since then, you were 4-3. That was the COVID year. 9-4. That was your last, like, really good season. Then you were 7-6, 7-6, 5-7, and 3-7. So, yeah, the short-term goal for Wisconsin, I don't think it's crazy to say, can we do what Illinois has done the last two seasons? Well, you're not great, but you're just good. Can you get to that? Can Luke Fickell ever get to that? I know Luke Fickell's coming back. I know Luke Fickell took Cincinnati to the college football playoff. But if your answer to that question is that Luke Fickell can't do that, then why is Luke Fickell still the head football coach? If you don't think he could eventually get to 10-3, and then this year they're 7-3, maybe you could increase that and finish off the year, 9-3, and then maybe you go win a bowl game. And you go back-to-back 10-win seasons. So when was the last time Wisconsin, back-to-back double-digit win seasons was 2017 and 2016 when Paul Chris was there. Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. We'll come on back. We will grade the first-year head coaches in the NFL when we return. Update time first. Here's the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast-to-coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Let me just verify this information. But I just want to see if what is being speculated is true. If you guys had to take a guess, Michigan, Ohio State, which is Thanksgiving weekend on that Saturday. It's Ohio State at Michigan. Ohio State's 10-0. Michigan is 8-2 right now. What do you think the early line is for Ohio State, Michigan, where it's tough for me to keep track because they've owned Ryan Day. I think it's four. 21, 22, 23.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Yeah, it's four in a row. 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024. I know the answer, actually, to that question. It is four in a row. What do you think the early line is? Michigan has not been good this year, only though they have two losses. In any big game, they have not played well. You know, maybe you could say Nebraska. But Ohio State has been a juggernaut. What do you think the opening line is? Ohio State at Michigan two Saturdays from now. Stu, take a guess.
I'm going to say 11.5.
In favor of the Buckeyes.
I'm assuming. Yes.
Okay. KP.
They're at Michigan or at Ohio State?
They're at Michigan.
At Michigan. Give me.
Because remember last year, Ohio State, Michigan beat them and Michigan planted the flag in the middle of the horseshoe.
Yes.
And then all those Ohio State fans, those babies, well, you can't do that. And all the politicians, we got to change the rules.
The legislation.
Ugh,
give me. 9.5. I don't feel strongly about that. Give me 8.5. 8.5, final answer. I'm done waffling.
Right now, it is 9.5. 9.5.
Should have stuck with his original guess. He was right. He nailed it.
When he's saying that, I'm just like looking at the computer screen because I didn't want to make eye contact with Chris Percy-Einen, who may have just or not mooned the camera right there. But it is 9.5. Now, the reason why I wanted to verify it, some like Michigan fan that I follow is like, oh, the spread's 3.5. And I was like, that don't make no sense. And then I saw that it's up to 9.5. So I forget who that was that said it was 3.5, but it is 9.5 is the early spread. What are your thoughts on that game early? Ohio State, Michigan, Ryan Day. He has had the Michigan kryptonite last year. I don't know how the heck Michigan won that game. But Justice Haynes is not going to be playing in that game for Michigan. So that's big because of the fact how much Michigan likes to run the ball. But I'll tell you, Michigan this year, they're an 8-2 team that really hasn't accomplished much. And Bryce Underwood, you know, he's been fine, but I thought he'd be better. Jordan Marshall's having a nice season. Justice Haynes was, like, if Haynes was playing, man, Marshall and Haynes, line them up. And they could beat Ohio State. But without Haynes, I think it's going to be really difficult. But Bryce Underwood, you haven't really seen him be the quarterback that we thought he was going to be this year. Like, he's not being disastrous, but he hasn't really popped off. Imagine they put lipstick on a pig on this season and Underwood goes off and he was just waiting for the game to do so. I do think, let me be honest, I think Ohio State's going to beat Michigan this year. I do. I don't want them to, but I think that they will. Stu? What's your early read on that game?
I mean, I will say it is the first time since Texas that Ohio State will really play like a good opponent. I not to disparage any of the other Big Ten teams, but I mean, this will probably be their biggest test going on the road to Michigan since that Texas game, and that's a long time. That's like 3.5 months.
They played Grambling. They played Ohio. They played Washington, Minnesota. Illinois was in the top 20 then, but Wisconsin, Penn State, Purdue, and UCLA. They play Rutgers this weekend.
Right. Right. Big bad records.
Chomp.
I think Ohio State wins, but I do think it's not going to be some blowout where they win by 20 points. Like, it's going to be a close game at some point, second half, and maybe they'll pull away and win by like 10, 13 points, but I think it'll be a good game.
KP, Ohio State, Michigan, what would be your gambling take on this one? Would you be laying those 10.5 or 9.5 points, whatever it was?
That feels like a lot. And with both of these teams being, let me say, charged going into this rivalry, but also with Ohio State being so much better than Michigan, I might even go as far as to say, like, you're better off teasing the Buckeyes and the under and just betting against these offenses.
Tease them up?
The Buckeyes?
Yeah.
And then tease the under. Yeah, tease the under up. But, you know, get Buckeyes, like, the extra point.
Are you saying go, like, 17.5 or 16.5?
No, the other way.
Oh, the other way. Tease down.
Tease so that they only have to win by like 4.
Gotcha. I was saying like, geez, Percy Einen. I go, do you know who their coach is? That guy's won a national championship, but he can't beat Michigan.
The alt spread is for like Knicks Nets on a Sunday at the Garden when you know no one cares. And okay.
Gotcha. I was just wondering which way you're going. All right, real quickly, let's grade some first-year head coaches in the NFL. Stu, you give me the coach. I'll tell you what the grade is.
All right, let's start with my guy, Pete Carroll, in his first year with the Raiders.
D. It's been disappointing. I can't say I'm surprised. Chip Kelly shouldn't be an offensive coordinator of the NFL. Geno Smith's been a disaster. I give it a D.
All right. What about your guy, Mike Vrabel?
A+. It's been sensational. The Patriots, I guess I got my swagger back. Ooh. It's been unbelievable. Drake May, fantastic. But more importantly, you got an adult back on the sideline, and I'm a big fan of the culture that Mike Vrabel brings to the football team.
Okay, what about Samter's guy, Aaron Glenn?
They've won two games, and that guy has more fights with the media than he does wins on a football field. I will give him a D-.
All right, what about someone who's went from offensive coordinator of the Lions to head coach of the Bears, Ben Johnson?
I'm going to give him an A-. Now, I was very critical of him earlier on in the season. I find him to be insufferable. But the Bears are winning games that they usually lose, and there's, yeah, the Bears indeed. They are 7-3, so give me an A- for Ben Johnson.
All right, what about Kellen Moore in his first year with the Saints?
They have no talent. They've been competitive in games. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's wonderful. Like, Pete Carroll and Aaron Glenn to me is more offensive than what Kellen Moore's doing this year. So I'll give him like a C-.
Okay, what about the other coach from last night's game, Brian Schottenheimer?
C. I actually like Brian Schottenheimer. I thought that was just a hire that only the Cowboys would make it. When you trade Micah Parsons before the start of the season, that's very tough to recover from. They've been an average football team. I would actually go, I'm going to give him a C+. I think I just gave him a C. I give him a C+. You know, maybe even make it a B-. I'll go C+ there. The offense has been playing really well. The defense, there's nothing you could do about it when you trade Micah Parsons like that. And I'll tell you, it was really touching last night, the way that he addressed the team in the locker room after the game, especially with what they had to go through. Brian Schottenheimer, to me, they've been average, but I don't really know what else you could be expecting when you trade Micah Parsons a week before the season starts.
All right, and last one, Mr. Duval himself, Liam Cohen.
Yeah, I think he's tough to grade. Because I look at them like they're 6-4, but I don't think they're some great team. But they just beat the snot out of the Chargers. I'll give him a B+. We all thought he was going to be an unmitigated disaster at that press conference. 6-4 is very respectable, especially when your quarterback hasn't been good. So I will give Liam Cohen, Duval, a B+. All right, that will do it for the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network today. Big thanks to Terrell McCall and Tyron Matthew for joining us in the same segment. Good luck on their podcast. KP, Chris Persianen, thank you so much. Stuart Kovacs, thank you so much. Most importantly, big thanks to each and every one of you. Thank you to everyone that called in today. And listen, however you may do so, we will talk to you tomorrow on a Wednesday right here on the Infinity Sports Network. This is the Zach Gelb Show. We out. Bye-bye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.